Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's from the right side. That ball's crushed. Deep to right field. Hernandez doesn't even move. It is long gone. It's off the roof of the pavilion in right field. Kyle Schwarber, his first postseason home run of the year. It's his 22nd of his career. And with a lightning strike, the Phillies tie it up at one.
Boy, John, we needed that, man. Holy mackerel.
Thank you, Kyle Schwarber. Thank you for both of your Schwarbombs last night. We needed the lift. We needed the points. We needed the, you know, the belief that this provides. It really does. It gives you a little extra oomph, gives you a little cushion, and everyone loves the, I don't know, the stress relief.
Big time,
you get a
dude.
Schwarbomb, and it's like, okay, back to normal. We can do this.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, dude. I'm with you 1,000,000%. So, great stuff by the Phils last night to turn to Christopher Sanchez. We'll talk more about Game 4 as we move through this hour, getting closer to first pitch, which is 6:08 tonight. By the way, shout out to everyone listening who has been, is, or has been at any time in your life a part of the U.S. Navy. Because not only is today a big day in Philadelphia sports, but as part of the country's 250th anniversary of the Navy, which was founded before the country was founded, they're coming to Philadelphia today. Over the next week, they're going to have all sorts of celebrations in town related to the U.S. Navy's 250th anniversary. It begins today. And so to everyone who's been part of defending our nation, of course, for all military branches.
My dad was Navy.
Your dad was?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I thought that I was going to be
really?
Navy also. Yeah, I
a
went
midshipman?
To Navy. Was it you were to Navy football camp?
You too good at football?
1987.
Definitely way too good to play Navy. Way too
yeah,
good.
I got good. And then I stopped thinking about Navy.
You're like, I'm going to go to Navy anymore.
But I did. When I was in 7th grade at Navy football camp, my expectation was I would grow up, I would go to Navy, and I would serve my country, and I would play there. And then I got better.
You got very good at football.
It seemed, yeah.
And then Penn State and Joe Paterno and Bill Walsh and all these people were knocking down your door. And,
all
you know,
that.
It happens.
Love it. So congrats to the U.S. Navy and thank you to everyone who's been part of that through the years. All right, 215-592-9494. Ben, clear advantage pitching-wise tonight, Sanchez versus Glasnow?
I wouldn't say clear. I mean, if Glasnow's on his game, it could be a long night for the Phillies offense, but I would say advantage. I wouldn't say clear advantage.
Yeah, fair enough.
Glasnow's very good. To Ben's point, I think the biggest hope is that you can get in his head because he is
fragile.
It's not just against the Phillies. Yeah. I've seen Glasnow melt down at times. Like he is not like super mentally strong comparatively to other pitchers, but his stuff is nasty. He's 6'7". He's like a giant out there on the mound.
He's the opposite side of the coin from Ranger.
He's good. He's good.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Like unflappable Ranger, he is flappable.
Sure.
Yeah, without a doubt.
He is 6'7". Ranger's a little more compact.
Yeah. The shadows are going to be an issue, though.
Yeah.
They mentioned it. Jeff Francoeur mentioned on the broadcast last night, and then we heard T-Mac talk about it in the postgame show with us. Shadows are going to be an issue.
Sure. Can I ask a quick shadows question, Ben?
Sure.
Is it different? Like, how different is it in different stadiums? Like, we hear about the shadows in certain stadiums as opposed to others. Like, if you have shadows at Citizens Bank Park versus the shadows at Dodger Stadium, can it be, like, much harder at Dodger Stadium?
It depends. I don't remember the shadows being all that bad at Dodger Stadium. So, that's not one that kind of, you know, rings a bell. There's some other places that are really bad. You know, they're just flat out really bad. And a lot of them are the older stadiums, the cookie cutter stadiums. But yeah, like it can be bad.
It's funny the way
anything with spin, you just don't see.
Yep.
It's funny
the way dumb stuff messes with your line of sight, though, with your vision. And I don't know what it's like for baseball. I know what it's like, you know, football wise. There were some stadiums where just the seat pattern would change how easy it was to pick up a ball.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah. You wouldn't think about that, but
the old Cowboys Stadium in Irving. I hated catching a football there. For whatever reason, it would blend, and the spin of the ball was hidden by the way the seats were configured right. And the color of the seats.
Yeah, it's different.
Strange stuff can mess with you.
My wife asked me the other day when the Eagles were at home, because the shadow was going long ways on the field, like from end zone to end zone, and it was literally half the field. So half the field was in sunlight, yeah, the other half was in shadow.
And I guarantee normally when that happens, teams always plan the sunlight comes in on the opponent sideline.
Yeah. Unless you're Jerry Jones.
Always.
Did he mess that up?
No, remember he had the window.
Initially?
He didn't do the. He didn't close the curtains, and they lost a touchdown last year to the Eagles.
Oh, that's right. I don't remember.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, and because he refused to close like their shades or whatever to block the sun from coming in.
Wow. It's a good memory by you. I don't have that one.
All right. I have weird stuff rattling around.
The Diddy, something Ray Diddy said about this Eagles-Giants game tonight. We'll get to that coming up shortly, as Ray was with us earlier in the week. Obviously very heavy on the Phils, both Game 3, look back, and Game 4, look ahead. Let's talk to Warren in Gwinnett Valley. Warren, good morning.
What a beautiful morning in the Delaware Valley, I must say.
Yes, but Warren, this is going to be the first time I give you the butt. But the night can be really bad unless they handle their business. Like, the deeper we get into the show, the closer we get to first pitch, the more I start getting justifiably nervous again. And I encourage you and everyone listening, do not take tonight for granted because they won last night. It's just not how it works.
Is this how it works when the Hammer's playing, that we don't take a win for the Hammer for granted?
No, dude, I'm like Notre Dame back in the 40s. I win all the time, you know? But, you know, it's just
you gotta watch out for the
horrible reference for you. Why Notre Dame?
I don't know.
I guess because they do have the most championships in college football, but
it's been a while.
Wash my mouth out with soap. That was a horrible one. That was horrendous.
Alabama.
It's because Ben's in front of you. You couldn't help yourself. That's exactly what it
Yeti
is.
Right there, big Irish.
You, I knew it. That's what it was.
Big Irish.
Subliminal.
Subconscious. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Warren, what do you got on our Fighting Phils?
The Fighting Phils, I want everybody to send positive vibes across the country to that stadium tonight and block those shadows from our hitters. Our pitchers are going to pitch very well. I'm really excited for Walker Buehler to make an entrance.
Maybe.
And
hopefully not.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
No.
So far, since he's joined the Phillies. I'm really excited about Walker Buehler.
Warren, he certainly could get in there, because if Sanchez has early issues, I think he'll definitely get in there. And, you know, fifth, sixth inning, who knows. But, all right, so Warren, good call as always. Ben, let's go to this. I asked this question to the crew yesterday. Let's apply it to Game 4. It's now slightly different based on who pitched yesterday. Let's say it's a tie game, bottom of the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Sanchez gave you 6 and he's now out and it's tied. 0-0, 5-5, whatever. We don't know who would be batting for the Dodgers, righty or lefty, what sequence. You don't know. But just knowing that it's the 7th and you're not going into run yet, who would you want to be the first guy, boom, 7th inning?
Clean inning?
Clean inning.
The way Kirkering's thrown the baseball his last two outings, he's looked really good. I might go Kirkering or Banks.
So you think Kirkering has passed Robertson in Topper's mind?
And you think Banks has passed Strom, too, then?
That's
a
double question.
Yeah.
Knowing that you might have – so here's part of the question.
Right.
Knowing you might and probably will use Duran for 2. So, like, 7 might be your only middle to bridge reliever guy tonight.
Right.
Yeah. So are you saying you trust Kirkering and Banks most of that crew?
I would say yes right now. Yeah, I would. And nothing against D-Rob or Strom. But these guys, I think Topper really likes Kirkering right now.
Didn't Kirkering mess up 2 games this series, 1 and 2? Am I remembering that right?
I don't think 2 was his. I mean, Trey makes the throw. He's probably out of it.
James, one's out of it.
But then he gives up hits and lead.
Look, he wasn't great, but I don't. I thought Kirkering pitched well. And no, in game 1, he was awesome. He was the only guy that had a clean inning.
He was good in 1. My fault.
He was good in 1.
He was good in 1.
He was lights out last night. Quick one last night. So
I'm not there. I'd probably trust Robertson over him still, but I think he's pitched well, even if the results in game 2 weren't great.
And Ben is Walker Buehler not that guy, that 7-8 inning guy? Is he only my 4-5 inning guy?
I think he'd be the long guy tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's in there for 3 outs to match up.
I agree. Particularly because it could be extra innings
yeah.
with the way playoff baseball
yeah.
is formatted mm-hmm. with. Okay, let's get to Violet right now. Good morning, Violet.
Oh my God! Hi, guys. I was just saying, I was waiting for you guys to pick up. I am so excited. Oh my God, I don't even know where to begin. I love this team so much. And I have to give a shout out to my boy, Boehm. What a freaking grab.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Y'all just win tonight. I don't care how, what it takes, win tonight and bring it back to the bank. I know we can do this. I'm so, so excited. And thank you so much for what y'all do. Because I have nobody to talk baseball with down here.
In Virginia. You're in Virginia, Violet.
Yes, I'm in Virginia, but I love my freaking Phillies. I'm from Philadelphia. My husband's from Jersey, and we just love the Eagles, the Flyers, the Phillies, and oh my God, go Phillies.
Love it. Violet, we need you calling the show more often.
Violet calls to talk to me every morning on her way to the gym.
Yes,
I talk to Violet
to
every – she's the best.
So, Violet, you've won this award, and this is a hard one to win. Who's got more energy and enthusiasm for the Phillies than James Seltzer? That would be Violet.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Virginia.
No, I love Seltzer. I love James. He's so freaking fantastic. And I absolutely love Bader, man. Oh, my God. What a freaking fantastic addition to this team.
Yep.
You think he can actually get out there and play a little more tonight, Violet?
I don't want to chance it. I don't want to chance it.
Yeah,
I do. I mean,
it was good. They said he could run the bases if he had to, which is a real – that's a step.
It's a step.
If he can, I mean, it's up to him. If he can, then I'm all on board.
For
you
sure.
Know? I mean, put it in his hands. So whatever he says, I trust him. I just don't want him to injure himself, because if we bring this back to the bank, I know we can win.
Well,
I know we can.
Violet, you bring up a great point, an excellent call. Please call us more often when you can. So she brings up a really good point about the Bader thing. Obviously, you have to win tonight. Otherwise, it's over. But we also know this. This isn't the only series you have to win the World Series.
Totally.
And so there is something to be said for, with the objective being to win three series and play for another 3 weeks, to not play Bader tonight if he's like 85 or 90%, maybe get him in there for game five so that he can then play the next 3 weeks. Because this is an injury that's a pretty easy one to re-injure, aggravate, and set back.
By the way, especially because it's getting freaking colder out.
Well, it certainly is here.
That's my point. You're coming home.
It's getting cold tonight.
I'm talking about for coming home.
Oh,
I'm saying you're talking about October.
Yeah.
As we move on in October, it's getting colder and colder. It's going to be colder on Saturday. I'm saying like that injury could get more re-injured. The colder it gets, the more you have that changes.
Could be stiff in
that
region.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, what?
Are you just going to keep going there until somebody reacted?
Hey, I went right past it at first, and I was like, oh, hey now.
You got to keep it lubed up. Down
right, Sean. That might be.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
No, seriously. Some icy hot.
Icy
that sort of
hot.
That's good. Icy hot.
Icy hot is acceptable.
The world.
The other thing was getting near NC-17. All right. So.
You can also use back plasters. You know those things that you put on your back to keep it warm?
Like the salon pop skin type thing?
Yeah. You put the back plaster right there on the groin. Put that on the hamstring. It's extra sticky, so it rips all the hair off when you remove it.
Sure.
But. It really works, and it keeps it nice and warm. I bet he's going to do a back plaster on the groin.
All right, so let's listen to the ditty. Obviously, heaviest today on the Phillies for all the obvious reasons. But Eagles play a game tonight versus the Giants, and Ray gave us a little preview from his perspective earlier this week. I mean, something we acknowledged earlier today is we want to see the Eagles not only win, but win convincingly. I mean, they have not outgained their opponent in any of the five games, which is borderline impossible with a 4-1 record. So you want to see them win and win handily. Let's listen to Ray, what he said earlier this week.
The one thing, you know, I normally, and I've talked to you about this forever, I hate Thursday night football.
Yeah.
To me, it's one of my least favorite things in the world. But I'm glad they're playing Thursday night this week.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're playing Thursday night, and I'm glad they're playing against this team. Because the Giants stink, okay? And this is a game that the Eagles have to go out, and they just have to crush this team.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't screw around with this team. It can't be close enough. You got to crush this team because they're there to be crushed. Okay, and forget about being on the road. That's going to sound like the link. I mean, it's going to because it always does up there. And this is a game. I know you don't have a whole lot of time to get healed and game plan, but it shouldn't matter against this team. You can't be fooling around with these guys. You got to go out and you got to crush this team right from the jump. And then maybe you get your season back on track. But this is a big game, surprisingly enough. But it's the perfect opponent at the perfect time. Go out and do what you have to do.
I like it from Ray. I'll say this. At a certain point, for me, and I'm guessing this applies to many, the concern with the Eagles will ratchet up more if they continue, and I know this is going to sound weird, if they continue to win unimpressively. I mean, it's hard to win a Super Bowl if you can't beat a team like the Giants, pretty handily. Now, let me back this up a different way. In 2017, the Eagles barely beat the Giants week 3. I mean, it took a 62-yard field goal, 61. Yeah, so
64.
So, you know.
It was 61.
Yeah, it wasn't 64. But, bottom line is, you're going to have your eke-it-out games. And the Eagles certainly had a couple of them last year against not-great teams, notably Cleveland and Jacksonville. But you just don't – at some point, you got to put it on a team. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to win 13, 14 games and 3 or 4 playoff games if you don't put it on some weak teams. And this is – Saria, do they tonight?
We're a stage where we should be able to do this.
Saria,
we should be able to stack it on some teams because there's some weaker teams coming up.
And get Saquon out of there early in the fourth quarter because you got a 3-touchdown lead and get him ready for next week. Rhea, do you think tonight they impress us?
I don't know about impress. What I'm looking for is to put a beginning half, the first half, and maybe the third quarter. I'll give you off the fourth, but I'm looking for three consecutive quarters.
Yeah.
My concern is, they do have a good defensive line. I don't think they have a very good secondary. And maybe that conversation that Jalen and AJ and Saquon had, I'm hoping it helped because I think getting those two in a room together, with Saquon was probably highly underrated. And we have the Phillies going on. So it was going to, if the Phillies weren't going on this week, we would have probably talked about that meeting ad nauseum. But I think it was a good thing.
Do you think Saquon Rhea can get Nick Castellanos and Phillies fans in the same room?
No, but he can drive them to the airport.
That's right. All right, James, I know you got a fact in there about the Eagles' offensive inefficiency this year. What is it?
Yeah, Jason Kelce alluded to this before, and it is stunning. Brace yourself. If you're driving, you might want to pull over when you hear this stat. Zach Berman had this stat. So the Phillies have gone 3 and out on a league-high 47.2% of their offensive drives. Number 2 in the league is Tennessee. Number 3 in the league is Cincinnati. So we know the type of offenses that they are with.
Yeah.
Here's the astounding part. It's only been 5 games, but no team has had a worse 3-and-out percentage since 2005.
Wow.
The 2005 49ers went 4-12. Now, again, they have a lot of games to correct this.
Sure.
But through 5, if it holds, it won't be the worst since 2005.
That is, that's horrible.
Stunning. It's stunning.
Now, who do you,
I blame a lot of them, Rhea. So, if you remember last year, I know that's where you're headed, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Last year, you guys know, I was very much thinking that it was primarily Jalen's fault when things didn't hum. I think this year, it's very spread out. I actually think it starts this year with the offensive line.
100%.
I think that's number one.
Totally agree.
Right? I think Jalen has had a hand. It is certainly possible to probable. The receivers have had a hand at times. And I don't think Saquon's as good. I know it's hard to tell. I'm not sure. I'm not saying I know.
What about Petula?
Coaching. Yeah, coaching's had a hand, too.
Petula. My fault.
Yeah.
My fault.
And it's not just that, I think, oh, my God, he's a terrible play caller. He's a new play caller.
Well, I also
and
think
that
it's
factors.
I also think it's play design at times.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've seen times where there's two receivers in the same spot.
In the same spot.
Multiple times in the same game.
It should never happen.
No, no. Theoretically, that could be receivers.
Yeah, it could be
running
the
wrong route.
Sure.
So sometimes you got to acknowledge the coach might not have drawn it up that way.
I don't think.
But
he did.
I think this year it's been very, very spread out with the ills of the offense. So, bottom line is, hopefully they put it on the Giants tonight because they're not going to win a Super Bowl playing like this the whole year. And while they were funky last year for good stretches, they weren't this funky. I mean, this has been ridiculous.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.